times when I was so low, or like situations happened, and I remember thinking like, why am I still here? Mm-hmm. Like, what do you, like, for what purpose? Like, mm-hmm. I didn't understand in the moment, but looking back, I really know that God allowed me to like sink low, right? Yeah. And like experience like darkness to like the depths of hell, mm-hmm. So that I could help guide people through that, right? Mm-hmm. He doesn't say it's going to be easy. And even when you have a relationship with God, it's not easy, right? I think actually for me, one of the hardest things I've ever been through in my life happened while I was walking with God, while I was serving him, and while I was faithful. And it's like, God, but I'm doing everything you're asking me to do. What's up? Mm-hmm. Heavenly Father, thank you for this time. Thank you for this day. Thank you for these women. Thank you for the space you've allowed us to have and to host our guests today. Thank you for the conversation that will be had, and thank you for the lives that it will touch. Allow your words that you want to come out of our mouth flow through us. Erase all the nerves, tension, any anxiety that might be dwelling in the space right now, and just fill it with love, community, conversation, laughter, and joy, God. We just thank you for the testimonies that will be shared today, and we thank you for bringing us to this place, but also molding us into greater people, God, and just help us along this way, guide us, and as we know, you'll never leave us nor forsake us, and just constantly remind us and let us feel your presence during this time, God. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.
Amen.
Yes, that was good, Kiki.
All right,
guys, we have a special guest with us today. We have been honestly really waiting for this moment.
No, seriously.
And again, like, when it's the right moment that God wanted us to be here today. Mm-hmm. So I'm gonna introduce her. She is first and foremost a Christ follower, a wife, a mom. She is passionate about social justice, especially in minority and undeserved communities, which led her to becoming a licensed certified social worker, clinical. I am honestly, we are so honored to have her on here. I have experienced, you know, a great relationship with Vanessa. Her name is Vanessa Rocha. We forgot to mention your name. Miss Vanessa Rocha. I met Vanessa during our Flourishing Mentorship. Mm-hmm. I remember not going to do the mentorship, you know, I was like in, you know, coming back to Jesus, and I was just like, no, I don't think I need this. I ended up signing up literally 2 minutes before they closed the,
registration.
Yeah, before they closed the registration. And I remember praying and telling God, like, all right, I'm going to do this, but I need you to give me someone that I know that I can be able to relate to and open up to, because, like, I come from, you know, a background of church where, like, everything was forced on me. So it was not easy for me to open up. And I remember being at the Flourishing conference, not the Flourishing conference, the first brunch that we had where they introduced us, our mentors. And I just remember seeing Vanessa coming to sit down next to me, and I just start bawling. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm just crying. I'm like, wow, this is my mentor. And because I felt the presence of God, and I knew that, like, this was going to be something so good and powerful without knowing your background in, you know, being a therapist and, you know, just being a social worker. I didn't know anything of her. I just felt the presence of God. It's just like, wow, like, it's about to be powerful. And it was a 9-month program. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So she became my mentor, and you just have like a gift, you know, and, you know, you changed my life, and I know that, you know, you're going to continue to touch so many other souls, and which is why, like, we wanted you on this podcast to share your journey, to share how you got here, and like your, you know, just like your faith walk, and how I know you've been helpful for me, and I honestly am, again, we're just so honored to have you on.
Yes, and just based off of Vanessa's relationship with Vanessa,
like, Vanessa would come home all the time and just talk about how, like, you guys' talks went and, like, how much of a impact you were in her life. And obviously, like, we're like monkey see, monkey do. I was like, well, I want some of Vanessa. So light groups came around, and I specifically joined Vanessa's light group because I was like, I need to know this woman more. And that was, I love light groups, but like that one was a special one, and it still holds like a very, very special place in my heart, because I really felt like that was the first light group where I was like able to like really open up and like start to like gain a community and just build a sisterhood. And I was like really honored to do that in Vanessa's home. So we just love her so much. Just a little bit more about her like educational background. She is a Latina mental health provider. She works with addiction services in Montgomery County. Currently is working with patients persistent in mental illness and substance abuse issues. She's first generation Colombian American, has over 10 years of experience working in social service in Montgomery County, a passion for Latino community, for greater education and access to service in underserved communities, licensed master social worker in Maryland, graduated from UMB with a master's in clinical social work in 2020 and obtained her bachelor's degree from Trinity University in developmental psychology in 2013. If you were interested in working with her, she focuses on gang-affiliated youth, homeless adults, victims of crime and sexual assault, domestic violence victims, private practice, adults with substance abuse disorder, adults with severe persistent mental health issues. Woo! That is quite wow. The resume.
No, seriously.
Honestly, I remember in the light group, I was like, can you be my therapist?
No, I remember coming back to Kian and I'm like, she's also a therapist.
I know. It's always great to like form connections with people who have that mental health background, but you also have to remember like, yeah, you should probably get your own too.
Yeah, no, yeah. Kiana would always tell me, she'd be like, you know, you gotta get your own.
But thank you so much for joining us, Vanessa Rocha. We love having
you.
Thank you. As always, we're gonna start off with some rapid fire questions, loosen it up a little bit before we get deep. Vanessa, you want to kick us off?
Yeah, I just realized there's two Vanessas on here. I know. I was like, can't know which Vanessa.
That's me.
Well, I know that. Okay, so first question, what dish do you cook best?
I'm very good at Colombian dishes. Mm. So, like you mentioned, my family's from Colombia, so I'm big into like arepas.
Yes.
You know, just like really traditional Colombian food, because it's really hard to find in the area. So.
Okay, I have yet to try your arepas.
Her light group.
Oh my gosh.
We was eating dinner.
No, I was in one of her light groups too, and we were eating.
They said snacksware. We would come hungry.
Stop.
Okay, next question. Do you think you could win a game show?
Oh.
Ooh. I think I could win a game show if it had to do with, like, song lyrics.
Okay.
Or, like, guessing artist names. I think there's one out there like that, but yes, something like that.
Okay, what I envisioned for you was maybe Jeopardy.
Mm-hmm. Maybe.
Mm-hmm. Or what was the one where you guessed the letter?
Oh.
Guess the word?
What is that?
I know what you're talking about.
What is that? Is that Jeopardy? No.
No.
What is that name of that game show where they spin and then they get to guess a letter and they're trying to put something together?
I could do that, though.
Oh, no. I don't know what you're talking about.
What is it called?
I don't know.
Okay.
Third question. What was your last impulse buy?
I bought a plane ticket.
Okay. Oh, we like that.
So much of an impulse, but I've been thinking about it for a while. It was just, okay. It's been confirmed. Mm-hmm. And then I kind of just did it. I'm going back home to Colombia to see my family. It's been a while. So, yeah, that was my last kind of big impulse buy. Yeah.
That's good. That's a good one. I'm trying to do that.
I was like a sandwich.
Do that or Starbucks. So.
Okay. What do you wish you learned sooner?
I wish I knew how to ask for help sooner. That's one thing that in my adult years I'm learning, but when I was younger, I kind of felt like you have to know it all. Yeah. Like, adults know it all. They don't need help. Mm-hmm. Like, they can be independent. You know.
That's a good one.
Yeah. Oof. All right, last question. One scripture you live by.
Man, there's so many. I know. I would say one of my favorite ones that I kind of like have up posted everywhere is Psalms 91. Mm. It just talks about, you know, the protection, provision, you know, what God will guard you from in every form. So that's one of my favorites.
You know, growing up, we memorized that in Spanish. Mm-hmm. Yeah, going to church. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's a good one.
Whew, that was good. I'm just going to tell the listeners now. I feel like we're going to cry.
Stop.
You know how you feel it
yeah.
in your chest? I can feel it. All right. Well, we're not going to start off that way. But, like, as you can see, just from the little bit that we've talked to Vanessa already, like, why we want to have her on, one, her background is just so extensive, and we feel like we haven't had a social worker therapist on or someone who has been so educated in this area where both Vanessa and I are very passionate about. And two, like, her presence is so powerful and calming. And I feel like if anyone was to talk about mental health and faith, like, it would be Vanessa.
Yeah.
And we know, like, her testimony, her journey, her story of how she got here is going to touch so many people. Yeah. So we're going to get right into it. And we want to ask you first, like, how has your faith influenced your career choice and approach to, like, therapy? Because I know there's kind of maybe, like, a little stigma between religion and going to therapy. Mm-hmm. So how did you approach it with your faith walk and understand, like, mental health is a real thing, mm-hmm. and sometimes you can't just, like, pray it away?
That's right. Yeah. I'll be honest, when I first started the journey of becoming a social worker, therapist, mm-hmm. all of that, I didn't have quite a relationship with God, right? Mm-hmm. Like, I know that he was over me. I know that he was leading my steps. Now I can look back in hindsight and see that. Mm-hmm. But in the beginning, it was all about, what can I do? How can I help people, mm-hmm. right? Like, how can I be of service, right? Because that's kind of just something that's been instilled in me with my parents, my family, my background. That's kind of something that we've just always, mm-hmm. that's just always been talked about. But as I started going to school and as things started to happen, I had a rededication to God because I did grow up in the church, and then straight away for like 8 years, didn't go even into a church for that long. And God really met me, and he really touched my soul, and he really just kind of made it clear to me that not only are you going to be a social worker and work in this field and work with people that nobody else wants to work with, you're also going to do it for me and for my glory.
That's so good.
So kind of changing my career a bit just as time has gone on, and just trying to realign with, like, what God has called me to and how he wants me to serve him, because then it's no longer about me or how it's going to make me feel good, but how am I going to spread, you know, just the gospel about him and lead people to him constantly.
Yeah. Wow. That's so good.
I love that so much.
Yeah.
You know, because I grew up, like, therapy isn't a thing. Mm-hmm. Like, go to Jesus, you know, go to God. And it's just like, it's a real thing.
Yeah.
God and therapy is the most perfect thing ever. I was about to say,
like, that combo is, you gonna lock somebody.
Yeah, and I personally never been to therapy, but, like, I've had friends, all my friends have been to therapy, you know, and I just see the change in them a lot, and I'm just like, wow.
Yeah.
Like, it's needed, because God will move through that therapist to get to you.
Yeah,
that's
right.
Yeah, therapy had, like, changed my life, because, like Vanessa said, like, growing up, not even outside of church, but just in a, like, a minority, like, environment, like, we're so tough, you know? Like, we don't get to cry, especially growing up in a survival mode. Like, who has time to go sit and talk about their feelings, you know? So as I got older and just realized, like, if I want help, I have to help myself.
Yeah.
And getting a therapist just so I could learn how to let people love me and communicate with people is, like, the reason why, you know, aside from God, like, you know, of why I can open up to people, you know, and I feel like it just helps so many aspects of my life, and even just being more open to, like, what God has for me.
Yeah.
Even if it isn't, like, a Christian-based therapist, I feel like God can use anybody.
That's right.
Yes. So, yeah, we are pro-therapy over here.
Yes.
I can't say it enough.
Yes. I know, Kiana's looking at me.
I've been telling Vanessa to go to therapy forever. Because when I started therapy, it wasn't for a big event in my life. Even though I've been through so much trauma. Mm-hmm. And I feel like I've been able to do a lot on my own. But I literally was going for maintenance. Mm-hmm. And when I started to go, I unlocked so many things. And I was just like, well, I needed this. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, so you never even know what you're like have inside of yourself or internalizing until you like... They dig deeper.
Yes.
And then when you go, you, like, realize, like, oh, I had no idea. Like, it's so many just things that you learn about therapy that you preconceive. Mm-hmm. But, yeah.
I don't know. I got to make time for it. I think that for me, it's more of, like, finding that therapist, mm-hmm. you know. Like, and I just happen to surround you. I know. But it's, like, I can't, you know. Like, you know, just finding that right therapist for you, mm-hmm. you know. And I think that whoever has you as a therapist is so lucky. So blessed. Oh my gosh, Lord Jesus, bring me someone like Vanessa Rocha, please.
Yeah.
You know, it's just like, you know, they say finding a good therapist is like dating around.
Yeah,
you know?
Like finding a good church. Yeah.
So. I have you guys.
I like staring through her. Get in therapy. Kind of going a little bit deeper into like the stigma between a mental health and faith. Mm-hmm. When someone comes and asks you about it, like, what is your answer when they're like, but I was told like Jesus is my therapist, mm-hmm. you know, like mm-hmm. how do you approach it from that angle?
Yeah. I mean, I can't tell you how many times I hear that, mm-hmm. Especially in the minority culture, mm-hmm. not just Hispanic culture, all types of minorities. I even had one person that I had to work with and she was like, my pastor told me this was of the devil. And my pastor said that this is a spirit and I just need to be like exorcised. And I'm like, well, let's, you know, let's explore that. Right. But the truth is that God has a heart for people who are suffering. Right. Mm. God has a heart for people who are struggling, who are in grief, who are struggling with mental illness. Right. Mm-hmm. Even in the Bible, it's mm-hmm. clear. There are so many people within the Bible. And we don't talk about this. Mm-hmm. Right. That struggled with mental health issues, depression, mm-hmm. grief. You know, Elijah wanted to kill himself. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's like some hardcore depression. Mm-hmm. And God has given us tools for us to be successful. He's given us people. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Right. And it's written all over the Bible. Proverbs is full of Proverbs. You know, mm-hmm. it says, you know, seek many counselors in order for mm-hmm. your plans to thrive. Right. You know, seek accountability, right? Mm-hmm. He's given us people and tools for us to thrive. He doesn't want us to do it alone.
Yeah.
So that's what I would say, that, you know, really seek God first and, mm-hmm. you know, make sure that this is something that he wants you to do.
Mm-hmm.
But God gave us skills for a reason and gave us people for a reason, not so that we can live in isolation, but so we can thrive together.
Mm. Yeah. You know, I see it as like, there's doctors, mm-hmm. you know, there's nurses, you know, like, police officers to protect us, mm-hmm. you know, therapists to help mm-hmm. us mentally. So like you said, God gave people the tools to help, you know, mm-hmm. we're going to go to God all the time, mm-hmm. but like he put people on this earth to help us for a reason. And therapy is one of them.
Yeah. Pastor Josh was talking about ways to live an abundant life and he's given us gifts and tools and he expects us to use them, right. you know, so it's kind of like a slap in the face if you know you're gifted to guide people along with their mental health journey and you mm-hmm. choose not to use it.
Yeah.
And I think, like, we need more Christians in these spaces because, I can only imagine what it would be like to have, like, a Christian therapist, like, sit there and pray over you.
Whew, it'd be so powerful. I know. I want Vanessa.
They're out there.
For sure.
Yeah.
Okay, so as a therapist, can you share a little bit more, like, personal experiences where, like, your faith has intersected with your mental health journey? Mm-hmm.
Sure. So I would say growing up, I grew up a pastor's daughter, mm-hmm. right? So faith has always been instilled in me mm-hmm. From, like, birth. I think I was born in the church.
Mm-hmm.
But it wasn't until I sought out God that, like, I experienced, you know, a true encounter with mm-hmm. him that, like, it really was beneficial for me. Mm-hmm. And that was actually outside of the church, right? When I left church and when, you know, he was still seeking me and still kind of holding my hand. There were so many times when I was so low or, like, situations happened. And I remember thinking, like, why am I still here? Mm-hmm. Like, for what purpose? Like, mm-hmm. I didn't understand in the moment. But looking back, I really know that God allowed me to like sink low, right? Yeah. And like experience like darkness to like the depths of hell, so that I could help guide people through that, right? He doesn't say it's going to be easy. And even when you have a relationship with God, it's not easy, right? I think actually for me, one of the hardest things I've ever been through in my life happened while I was walking with God, while I was serving him and while I was faithful. And it's like, God, but I'm doing everything you're asking me to do. What's up? And he said, this isn't about you. It's not for you, right? I'm going to use this testimony. I'm going to use this experience for others, right? So, you know, I'll be super transparent. I had a miscarriage, right? And my husband and I had been trying for 2 years. And I remember just doubting everything. I remember that feeling of isolation and loneliness. And in that moment, I thought, my God, this isn't for me. It's not even about me. It's because you want me to understand what people feel. How can I serve people? How can I be there for people? How can I walk people through darkness if I've never touched it, right? Like, you've allowed me to sink low. You've allowed me to touch this precipice of darkness so that I can, you know, further help them, walk them through it. It's just, it's powerful. You know, when you experience darkness, when you experience, you know, moments of like questioning why you're even alive, like that's not of God, right? But I think that he allows us to get there for his glory, right? For other people. So for me personally, if I didn't have God, one, I wouldn't be here. And two, I wouldn't be able, you know, to get up every day, to do it for others, to help just, you know, shine a light for them. The way that I see therapy, the way that I see what I do is like we're in a dark cave together, right? I can't see what's in front of you. You can't see what's in front of you because you're the dark cave. And I'm just helping shine the light on all the crevices that you've left in the dark for so many years, right? And for me, the only way that I'm able to do that is because God has given me a gift and because I'm pointing people to him. It's not about their willpower, their strength, or what I can do. It's about, no, how is God going to meet them? How are they going to find that? How are they going to experience a true relationship? Personally, I don't know how people do it without God. Even thinking back to my situation, like, I don't know. I couldn't have gotten through it. So,
Oh my gosh. That is, I love that. I love that you said that, like, God puts you into that dark place because you've never been there, you know? And I think that, you know, for me, and like, I know we've, we all in this room have experienced that, you know? I used to, like, I wouldn't say, like, make fun of, but, like, I would always be like, why are people always saying they're depressed? Like, just shake it off. Like,
you're, I remember you, like, saying that.
And I'm like, get over it, you know? But, like, God put me in that place, you know? Like, he literally took me there. And I'm just like, wow, this is a real thing. And I love that you said that, like, God takes you there so you can help other people. Because, you know, coming out of that, you know, you knew a lot because you, well, both of you guys, you know, Vanessa was my mentor, Kiana was living it with me, you know, and, you know, just having you guys in my circle, like God working through you guys to help me, helped me so much, you know, and I know that God is now bringing all these women into my life who are trying to come out of that and also walk their, you know, walk with Jesus, you know, and try to grow in their faith. And I was telling Kiana the other day, I was just like, God's just so funny because he really put me through that because now all these girls are coming to me so I can help them. And I'm just like, God, why do you continue to do this? You know, and I keep seeing like this light bulb, like it's because I put you through that for them, you know? And I just think that's so powerful. Oh, it's so good.
Like it's our purpose to walk people through life and to do life with people. And there, like you said, there's no way we can be somebody's liaison to faith if we haven't, like, we don't understand why we have faith, you know? And like you said, I feel like we've all touched a really dark place. And it's funny that I think we've all grown up in church, but there was a moment where we stepped away and it's like we try to do life by ourselves and we got slapped. And it's like God lets us like touch the stove as many times as we want to. And then like he, but he's still right there to let it not go too far. But like there's purpose. And I love that you're able to see that and not like have a victim mentality of like, why is this helping me? Like, because I mean, I feel like there are times where it's valid to get angry with God and be like, what is going on? And I'm sure you've had those times, but to not dwell in those spaces and to realize like there's purpose, like it honestly makes it better because you know, like you're turning something so ugly into something so beautiful so that other people know how to handle this pain. And like you're taking my pain and having purpose over. And I think that's beautiful that you've come to a point where you can, you know, get there and like even say it to us. So like we're constantly reminded, like if we're having a hard time, we're like going through a dark time in our lives, like remember God is using us, mm-hmm. and we're just vessels, and like it's a privilege to be used by God, and it's not almost ever going to be easy, yeah. but it's worth it. Yeah. You know, like I wouldn't want to do this life if
yeah,
you know, like yeah. what's the point? Like I look around now that I have spiritual eyes and see mm-hmm. people like
living, yeah,
and it's just so scary. Like you can yeah. see the spirits all over them, and yeah. it's just like, whoa, they're so lost.
Yes. Oh, no, it's heartbreaking. Yeah. It really is. And I'm just like, you know, again, like just meeting new people mm-hmm. and everyone, like all these girls coming to me, and it's just like, wow, if you just mm-hmm. came, yeah. if you just come and just listen mm-hmm. and just come to this side, like you're going to have this peace.
Yeah. That's
right. And like, you know, I know that for me when I was, you know, on that other side for mm-hmm. me, it was hard because I was like, but I don't want to change this, yeah. but I don't want to change that. Yeah. And you don't have to change mm-hmm. anything. Like God would literally mold you mm-hmm. into what he wants you to be. Mm-hmm. And I look back and I'm like, I'm good.
Yeah. yeah. He changes your desires. Yeah. And I think like, and obviously like we say all this with no judgment because mm-hmm. we've been on the other side.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like we're like, I know I'm like 2 years deep in this. So it's like, I was just there,
yeah.
you know, but it's just like, once you kind of cross over, and like we deal with things every day, we're mm-hmm. nowhere near perfect, mm-hmm. But you just have a much better understanding and more wisdom as you yeah. go through life, like okay, this yeah. is very clearly mm-hmm. wrong, and you know, like we have more pressure on us to choose the right things because we're representing God now, like we have this platform, mm-hmm. So yeah, we just kind of went on a tangent right there. It's like a little moment.
Right. Let's get back to the therapist.
But thank you so much for sharing yeah. your testimony. I know that's like a sensitive topic, and like just being in that space of like, I know like what, when you announced your pregnancy, of like what that, like we were all so elated for you because yeah. we like, you know, we know how much you want that, and just for you to be able to see God's glory in it is beautiful. So thank you so much.
Of course, I love that. And I think, you know, I do want to say, I don't think people talk about mm-hmm. it, right? The mm-hmm. pain, the struggle,
yeah.
You know, the physical aspect of it, what, you know, your marriage could go through. Mm-hmm. There's so many things that go into grief over, mm-hmm. you know, someone you never knew.
Yeah.
You have to talk about it. You have to. There's no shame. There's no embarrassment. Mm-hmm. I know that I'm supposed to talk about it. Mm-hmm. And at first, I didn't want to. I was very ashamed. Like, what did I do? What did mm-hmm. I cause? Like, God, what did I do wrong? But it's not about that. So please, please talk about it if that's something you've been through or
yeah.
Struggle with.
I love that. Okay, so for someone like myself who... Kiana!
I'm sorry. Because I was like, actually, this is perfect for you, actually, Lee.
Actually, this podcast for you.
Right. So we're all gathered here today.
This is an intervention.
Okay. All right. Okay, so for someone like me who is looking for a therapist, like what are some questions or things that I should be looking for into a therapist?
Mm-hmm. So first, if you're seeking a godly therapist, pray. Right. Yeah. Pray. Seek, mm-hmm. you know, seek God first. Right. Mm-hmm. Make sure that that's confirmed, that that's what you're looking for. Right. And you have to shop around. You have to. Mm-hmm. It is. I think you mentioned something like yeah. it's kind of like dating. Mm-hmm. It kind of is, because you have to find the person that's going to be the right fit. There's so many different styles, so mm-hmm. many different types of therapy. You really do have to give it more than one fair shot. Me personally, I have a therapist. She's wonderful. But it took me 2 or 3 therapists to get to her. It mm-hmm. took me a lot of tears. It took me a lot of struggle, a lot of even me questioning myself, mm-hmm. like, this doesn't feel right. Like, God, this isn't of you. Mm-hmm. So it did take me a little bit. A lot of therapists do, like, consults, right? So they do, like, little, like, free consultations, okay. almost like a little bit of a free session. And just seeing if you align, right? Seeing if it's somebody that you can see yourself in, somebody that you think can walk you through seasons, right? Mm. And also, you know, one thing that the Bible talks about that I believe to be true in therapy is that we have to be in life fruit inspectors, mm-hmm. right? We have to take, like, obviously therapists aren't going to be, you know, opening their heart wide open to us the first time we meet them. But it is important to know, like, what are your credentials, right? Mm-hmm. What does your life look like? What are your beliefs? Because if your beliefs, whatever they are, don't align with mine, why am I going to seek you?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right? We will know people by their fruits. So that's what I would encourage anybody that's looking for a therapist to ask the questions that matter to you, the values that matter to you. Are you a mother? Are you seeking to be a mother? Do you know anything about parenting? Do you know anything about relationships mm-hmm. or marriage? Mm-hmm. Why would you go, you know, no shade to single therapists, but if you want to be married, why go to somebody who's not to seek counsel?
Mm-hmm. Right? That's good.
So like you said, you're shopping around. How deep into it do you feel like you need to, like, should you give them a couple sessions or is a consult enough? Like how, because I know when I saw, which I'm not seeing this therapist anymore, like I feel like I've graduated from her mm-hmm. and I'm just now kind of like in the market for a new, maybe more Christian based one. Mm-hmm. I shopped around a little bit, but like I had a session with her and what I felt like I was going through during that time was kind of like, you know, practical. Like I didn't need a lot. But I kind of just stuck with her mm-hmm. because I was already deep in it.
Yeah.
So like, would you recommend someone do like a couple of sessions mm-hmm. and then kind of feel it out? Or would you say like, just trying to, do that one consult mm-hmm. and see like, and then pop around? Mm-hmm.
I would say a consult and a first session.
Okay.
So a first session is not even really a session, honestly. Mm. It's assessment, right? Mm. But you are going to get to know what kind of therapist you have, what, you know, sometimes they'll make recommendations after the first session. And if they do, that's not your therapist, like, to be honest with you, because they're still gauging who you are, right? I've been in sessions with people where they're like, okay, well, you need medication when they first meet you. And it's like, unless that's the route you know you want to go and you know that 100% that's what you need, nobody should be telling you that after the first session. They really need to dig deeper, do further assessment to figure out, first of all, what's your diagnosis if you have one? And two, do you really need medication? Mm-hmm. That's one thing that I'm really against, that this culture is really about. Mm-hmm. No, you know, I don't have a problem with medication when it's appropriate.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But somebody shouldn't be spewing it and prescribing after 15, 20, 30 minutes that you're meeting them if you have no history of medication.
Yeah.
So that for me is like a huge red flag, I would say, as a professional. But it will take time, you know, take your time to, you know, hear what they're saying, be fruit inspectors and you know yourself, you know what you need, trust that feeling.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Trust your gut.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. That's good.
So you're a therapist now. You weren't always one.
No.
Did you start out, like, did your therapist journey start out with you seeking therapy or did you just feel this calling to it and then like did you have a therapist mm-hmm. first?
I did have a therapist right after high school. That was my first like encounter with therapy at all, and I was it was after a really hard time. My parents at that time were separated. My dad, who was a pastor, lost his church. Like everything that I thought to be true was kind of like being challenged. And that was the first time that I ever saw a therapist, and I was like, wow, this is very different from what I expected. Like, I expected it to be very, like, this is what you need to do, and you need medicine, or this, and but it was really just so supportive and encouraging, and it was the first time that I felt like anybody in my life had ever allowed me to be the own narrator of my life, right? Because everybody that you know has an idea of who you are. They all have a perspective that's in your circle, right? But a therapist really is an unbiased opinion of, like, this is what we see, this is what, you know, the path we think you should take based on this knowledge, right? And that's beautiful. That's something that most people don't ever get. So that was my first encounter. But no, I didn't know that I wanted to be a therapist even after that. So honestly, it comes after a lot of failed attempts of trying to be something else. I thought I wanted to be a journalist for a little bit. That's what I started going to school for, actually. Then I thought I wanted to teach. A lot of people in my family were teachers. We even like own a school in Colombia. Like, I was like, this makes sense. I was so lost. And then after I failed at something that I thought was going to be kind of like the thing for me, I was so, so sad and felt like such a failure. And I was like, okay, God, like, just put me where you want. Like, I don't know. I don't know what to do. I don't know what path to take. I'm so lost. Like, help.
Yeah.
And I got placed at a homeless shelter in social work, right? So it was, I was literally doing social work every single day. And I worked there for about 2 years until I realized, like, I want to do this. Like, I want to do this for a career. I want to do this professionally. I want to learn the most that I can about this field. How can I do that? And I started just doing the research, just trying to figure out how to be the best at that. And that's how I went back for my master's in 2016, after working there for about 4 years. Mm-hmm. And I just wanted to grow. I just wanted to give people the best service and the best of what I had. And then I got pregnant in 2016, which was super unexpected but beautiful.
Little Luna.
I
love that girl. That's my boo.
Spicy. Shout out to my baby. I know she'll probably hear at some point.
We love you, Luna.
Yes. And at that time was when God really called me. And God was like, what future do you want your daughter to have? Do you want your daughter to experience the pain you have? Do you want your daughter to be lost? And I was like, no, God, I don't. Yeah. So that's when I really started to seek God, was when I got pregnant. Mm-hmm. And I went back to school. So a program that should have taken me 2.5 years took me 4. Mm. And I remember thinking like, wow, I suck. Like, I'm really bad at this. I am never going to finish. I don't have what it takes. But God provided so many angels along the way for me, including my husband. He got me through school, honestly, and my mom, and people. Like, God provided me with so many wonderful people who were like, I see your struggle. I see your challenge. Like, here's some homework. Here's notes. Like, here, let me help you. And it's like, it wasn't by no thing that I did. It was like, not by my character, by anything that I did. It was really like, I'm going to place these people because you're going to do this and it will get done. Maybe not in your time, but in my time. So after 4 years, I finally graduated in 2020 during COVID, which is crazy, but I did. And I started working immediately. And thank God for that. So it was just kind of like, He aligned my path without me having to get in the way.
Yeah.
The moment that I kind of surrendered, like, I don't know what to do. I don't have the strength. I don't have the will. He did.
Yeah. I love that because I have so many girls in my light group right now. They're in big career transitions and they don't know which path to take and they're just so scared to like make a choice because they feel like they're going to make the wrong one. And I like that with you. You like tried a bunch of different things and by the act of doing, you realize like what would fit for you, but it was really God placing you in environments so that you could see like, no, this isn't it. No, this isn't it. Until you let me show you what it is, you're going to continue to keep trying to do new things. But the moral of the story is like where he calls you to, you're going to get there.
You are. Yeah.
It just depends on like how obedient you are, how quickly you get there. So I like that.
That's right.
You were able to kind of have God's hand along your journey all along and just, you know, go out on faith and have action too, because I feel like a lot of people feel like their calling, their purpose or their career that God has called them to is going to fall in their lap. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times it's going to be after trial and error.
Yeah.
And it's never going to look how you actually thought it was going to look at all. So I really love that you had some action behind your faith too.
Yeah, I was just going to say, I failed at so many things first. Yeah. Like I was a whole teacher. Like I thought I was going to teach. I was teaching third grade in Dallas, Texas. Mm-hmm. And it was, you know, it was a great time and I could do it. Like I got through it, but I would get in trouble because, my kids didn't have food, right? Or my kids, you know, had really dysfunctional families. And I'd find myself like going to their houses and feeding their family or like trying to support them or engage with them in a different way. And my principal would always be like, stay in your lane, stay in your lane. And it wasn't until then that I realized like, I wanted that to be my lane, you know?
Oh, I love that.
But it took a lot of failing to realize that. Yeah. So, you know, I would say for people that are seeking careers, like don't be scared to fail because the failure is not the end of your story. That's just the beginning.
I love that.
Amen to that. Hallelujah. Pastor Josh. A lot of things.
Pastor Josh said today, like, his fourth point was go after your dreams. You never know, like, this could be the season, like, right after this could be your breakthrough, so don't give up. And that get me. I always feel like God talks to me in different ways, but I really feel him when he sends chills down my body, and that gave me a chill, and I was like, don't give up. You're one season away.
That's right.
Ugh. So close, and you can feel it. Yeah.
Yeah.
But you never know unless you try.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You gotta fail forward.
Okay, period. She's looking at me. Okay, I want to ask you, because I hear this sometimes, and a little bit of the men. What do you say to people who say, I don't need therapy? I'm not talking about
it. I mean, obviously I'm biased, right? Yeah. This is my career choice. This is what I do every single day. I leave it, you know, I live it, I breathe it.
Are there people who don't need therapy?
Are there people?
I've not met those people.
Okay.
Me neither.
I've never met a person that I'm like, wow, you're so perfect and balanced that like you would not benefit from someone looking at your life in an unbiased way and giving you support. I've never met that person, including myself, right?
Right.
Even our pastors, like I love that they talk about therapy, and you kind of mentioned this earlier where therapy is, you don't have to wait for some big event. You don't have to wait to be in depression or anxiety or having panic attacks. Like it can be truly preventative.
Mm-hmm.
We do preventative work on our car.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like we get oil chains every, I don't know, 3 months or four if you're me.
Yeah, six.
But but like we don't do that for ourselves. Yeah. We don't do internal inventory. We don't, you know, talk about our issues and talk about our patterns of lifestyle. Like that will continue to happen until you truly evaluate, until you have someone else truly evaluate it for you. So it's really just that maintenance work that we need to do.
Yeah, that's so true. The car analogy is crazy.
Yeah.
Because how are you taking care of your car but not yourself? That's crazy. Oh, no, that's good.
Yeah.
That is good. And I like when we put it down into practical examples like that, because I feel like we complicate things so much about like, oh, I can't afford it, or like, you know, I don't, it's just like a luxury, but it's like, okay, well, your car needs to run, so you're going to do what you need to do to get that to run.
Yeah.
Okay, but you need to too.
Mm-hmm.
But I think we're so used to just being on autopilot. And having a relationship with Jesus, it causes you to really do a deep dive on yourself.
Yes.
And I think like if you are going to follow Christ, like you should get a therapist.
Yes.
Yeah. And I think that honestly, like for anyone that's listening and is like, yeah, I need a therapist. I need to follow Christ. I need to have a healthy community. Just start by planting yourself in a healthy church.
Mm-hmm.
Then everything is going to start falling into place for you. I love Sam's story today, how she talked about how the community like literally changed her life. Like she was going to church, but like she wasn't getting filled, you know, in like having a healthy community. So once she planted herself into a healthy church, you know, she has been able to give back. She has been able to like plant herself in like mentoring other people.
Mm-hmm.
And like, you know, you discover all these things that you never know about yourself, which I'm pretty sure you discover that in therapy too.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. So good.
Yeah.
So good.
Kiana's literally staring at me.
Okay.
I know.
There's also a right time.
Yeah, now I was literally about to say that. Like, it's like with anything in life, it's when you're right. Because there's no point of you going to therapy if you're not going to be, like, actually doing the work behind it either. So it's about timing.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not currently in therapy right now either, but I do feel like there's little moments in my life where I feel like I'm, this could be a talk I have with a therapist instead of one of my friends, you know, like, and
true.
I feel like it's happening just a little bit more frequent.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm like, okay, I'm not looking into that.
I might need a book a session.
I'm like, look at one. But yeah, so where can we find like faith-based therapists specifically?
Yeah. One of the things, like in Montgomery County, especially in Maryland, probably, there's so many free resources that like people don't know about. So I want to make sure that people know about that.
Mm-hmm.
But specifically for Christian counseling, for faith-based counseling, there are some really great websites and programs. Safe Harbor is one that I've used and one that our church recommends. They're wonderful. They have like thousands of providers and they kind of match you based, you know, there's like criteria and you take like a little test and then based on that test they kind of match you with somebody. So that they're really great. I personally right now even use this platform called Grow Therapy, and they're just basically an online therapy platform. But you're able to kind of fill in what you're looking for, right? So for me personally, I was looking for number one, a faith-based counselor, biblical, you know, biblically sound advice. So that was number one for me. Number two was a Latina. I really am big on representation, right? I want to have conversations with people that will understand my culture. If, you know, if I'm talking about whatever I'm talking about, I want you to know my language a little bit.
Yeah.
So for me, those were the two things I was looking for. So you're able to kind of like filter people based on what you're looking for, which is really, really cool. But yes, there's also free resources that aren't specifically targeted at faith-based, mm-hmm. But I think they're important for people to know. There are programs in Montgomery County such as like Access to Behavioral Health. Mm. They help people, they connect people from all walks of life to therapy, to counseling, to substance abuse issues, really anything they're in need of, and it is completely free.
That's crazy.
This is a free service. People literally walk in, make appointments, get assessed, and get matched, and like people have no idea. Mm. They serve uninsured, they serve insured, wow. Right? Like, they serve everybody, so it's out there.
Whew. I love that. That's so good.
You get a therapist. You get a therapist. And honestly, I feel like, well, obviously, like, the world would be such a better place.
Yes.
If everyone yes. was able, because a lot of times people just want to be heard, and they don't know mm-hmm. how to communicate that, or, like, it ends up coming through, like, violently, or, like, yeah. Just shootings. So many. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah, no, seriously.
What do they say? It's like, we go to therapy for the people that never will. It's true. It's true. The people that harm us, the people that cause the most damage in our life will never change. Yes. Like, let's be honest. They're never going to go to therapy. Mm-hmm. Like, I would love for that to happen.
Tell
but
me about it.
They won't, right? So it's like, we have to change. We have to shift because we know they
need. Yeah. And a lot of times, like, even if it's because of someone else, like, we are protecting ourselves. Mm-hmm. Like, we need to learn how to deal mm-hmm. with these things because they're obviously not going to change mm-hmm. or yeah. teach us, mm-hmm. you know? So that's so good.
When you ask the question about when people are hesitant to obtain therapy, or when they say, you know, that it's not biblical or it's not church-based, whatever the case may be, you know, go into the Bible, read the Bible, mm-hmm. and tell me there are not so many people with mental health issues, mm-hmm. right? And yeah. tell me that they didn't struggle with depression, mm-hmm. anxiety, panic attacks, you know what I'm saying? Like, if you do not find that and you cannot find that, then that will be valid. But that's not true,
yeah.
right? Like, as a Christian, the book that we base our life on, right, is supposed to be the Bible. And here, God has given us countless examples of what people struggle with and how to get past it. And we're just going to, like, choose to ignore it.
Yeah.
You know, so as a Christian, especially, like, we need to seek counsel. We need to seek mm-hmm. wise wisdom. We need to seek accountability for our actions. And I think therapy is a great way to do that.
Yeah. You know, I love that. You know, even, you know, like, I mean, I'll just put it out there too, but when I recently was dating someone, I actually reached out to Vanessa to be my spiritual, like, mm-hmm. someone that can guide me in, you know, a godly relationship. But like, and that, you know, made me realize a lot of things, and it opened my eyes to a lot on how I really wanted my relationship to go. And, you know, it was unfortunate that it had to end it the way, you know, that it ended, but like, it saved me from so much more, mm-hmm. like, spending my time with the wrong person or the wrong, you know, like, maybe it just wasn't my time, whatever, right? But like, what I probably would have figured out within mm-hmm. like 3 years, I realized that mm-hmm. in 4 months, because I was seeking the help, because mm-hmm. I was seeking that advice, you know, because like, I know that I wanted to go the right way, you know? And, so yeah, so like, just seeking advice, mm-hmm. it literally, like, there's no cons to that. Like mm-hmm. you literally, everything is just going to be so positive outcome out of it. So like, just take the step. Me to me.
You know, and I know sometimes people don't do that because they don't want to hear it.
Yeah.
And I think like, it's okay if you don't want to hear it. But still allow the seed to be planted, you know, like you might not be ready to receive it, but just have the conversation, you know? And I think like in God's timing, like, when he's ready for you to like actually have some action behind that, he'll allow you to open up your ears, your heart, your mind, to really receive the information, and he'll bring those people in who can, mm-hmm. you know, pour respectfully mm-hmm. tell you about yourself.
I mean, everyone that I've gone to, like, you know, to mentor me, to give me counsel, like, they literally respectfully mm-hmm. like have told me, you know, this is right, this is wrong. You know, at the end of the day, it is your choice on what you want to do. Mm-hmm. And honestly, it's made me want to go the right way, you know, like it's made me want to do better, you know, because I know what's better. So anyways, that can be a topic for another day. But the point is, get the counsel, get the healthy community, get a therapist, you know.
Equip yourself.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. That was so good.
For anyone that's listening, what's like an encouragement that you have for them to seek support for their mental health and nourish their faith?
You kind of touched it earlier, right? But number one, seek God, right? Like if you're not, you don't know how to find God, if you don't know what you're looking for, if you don't know what to do, these wonderful ladies can help you. I can help you, you know, even if it's not within a church, even if it's not within Highlight, you can still seek God.
Yeah.
So I would say that's number one. Do that before you do anything else. Root yourself in a healthy community. Again, doesn't have to be a church. I think when we say healthy community, we just assume it's a church. Doesn't have to be that, right? It's somebody that's going to pour into you. It's people who are going to love you unconditionally and are going to, you know, walk you in the right direction. That is a healthy community. And just seek help, right? Speak out. Like I kind of mentioned earlier, it took me a long time to ask for help until I was drowning, you know, in a lot of ways. I could have avoided a lot of pain. I could have avoided a lot of suffering. But God allowed that to happen for a reason, right? So that I can warn people and talk about this and, you know, let them know that they're not alone. They don't have to struggle alone. We're not meant to do life alone. So seek help. And there's there's plenty of that out there.
That's okay.
I love that. Yeah. No, I really like that you obviously we all go to the same church, but I love that you added that, you know, not every healthy community is going to be found in a church because some people really do have real church trauma. And I do believe, obviously, like you should try to move past that. But I think the first step is allowing good people in your life, you know, and to not be afraid, because I feel like there's just so much stuff that comes with like rejoining a church, and sometimes it's just easier to just surround yourself with good people. So I really like that you touched on, you know, like sometimes it doesn't look like a big joining a church. It could just be like being open to like people who make good choices.
Yeah.
I mean, honestly, it took me almost 10 years to step back into a church. Like the time that God used when I was outside of a church was so meaningful, right? Like I'm not saying stray away, but for me, I needed to go through that, right? To understand like what even life was like outside of a church, right? 10 years. And then even when I started coming to Highlight, y'all probably don't know this, but like I was so closed off. Like I started coming in 2018, and I didn't talk to anybody until like a year later.
Oh my God.
And then I didn't start serving until 2021. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Like it took me that many years to like break down these walls and barriers that I had built over time because I was so jaded. I didn't trust people. I was like, why are these people smiling at me? Like, what do they want? You know, why is this? It felt weird because I wasn't used to it.
Yeah, you never experienced it.
I've never experienced a love like that. And really what I know now is like, that's like God's love through people. Not just at Highlight, but it's out there, you know, and it's beautiful and it's healing.
I love that. You know, it's like you are who you surround yourself with, you know, so just surround yourself with positive people that are doing the right thing.
Yeah, I love that. Thank you so much. We got through this episode without crying.
No, seriously. Oh my God, we did. Good. I know, I almost heard
crying. You almost got me though. I felt it. I was like, it was so good. We could talk to you all day long. I mean, we really could.
Like your voice is just
so soothing. So soothing. And you're like, you're just so, you, God,
I it's a gift. It's a gift.
Just so.
It's a gift.
I'm speechless. No, you're like, honestly, like, you're so good at this.
The thing about it, like that people don't know, everybody says that. And thank you for that. And thank you guys for saying that. But it's come with so much struggle and it's come with a lot of doubt and anxiety. And you know, my husband can tell you, like, I am by no means perfect. I am by no means, I don't practice even everything that I say. And God's always like, wow, you hypocrite. But the reason that I've had to deal with all of this, man, I've been an anxious child since I was born, I think. And it's like, I never understood why. I was always like, why am I made so different? Why am I so sensitive? Why? Why? You know? And like, it's so clear to me now. Why? Because I can carry it, right? And God's like, you can hold a lot, and you can hold a lot for people too, not just for yourself. That's why I've given you that capacity. And two, to be able to understand people. People all the time come to me and they're like, nobody gets it. Nobody knows. There's no one in the world like me. And I'm like, girl, yes. But it's not just me. There's so many of us out there that are like that. And I think really one of the positive things about therapy and therapists is that they're able to hold things for you that you shouldn't hold alone.
She almost got me. She almost got me. She almost got me. No, because I can relate to that, too. Because I always felt, like, so different and, like, so, like, God, like, I have so much capacity to hold for other people. But sometimes you're like, who's going to hold it for me? Mm-hmm. And, like, I've been able to, like, look at it as a blessing of just, like, being able to show up for people and, like, being glad and happy to do mm-hmm. that. So, I think the more that I step into that, it does feel really good. Mm-hmm. So thank you for affirming that. You're not alone.
I love it.
Whew. Okay. Well, if you didn't get something from this episode, something wrong with you.
No, stop. Where, like, what are your next step? What's next for you?
So I work for the government right now, mm-hmm. which is really an interesting place to be because, I mean, the government's great. No shade to them, but I'm not allowed to talk about Jesus. Right. Oh, so okay. The way that I handle it is like, I point people to God and I quote scripture, without them even knowing. Right. And the moment that somebody's like, have faith or I pray or this or that, like I run with it.
Yes.
As long as they mention it, it's like, okay. But so I know God is still using me, mm-hmm. but personally my goal is to 100% go in for God, right? Mm-hmm. So I, in the next year, will be having my own private practice.
And love
my,
that.
Yeah, so stay posted. I'll keep
I'm gonna be
posted.
Up in there.
Excuse me, I have a private session.
And the purpose of that isn't for my glory, isn't because I'm so great. Like, no, it's because I want to be able to freely talk mm-hmm. about what God has given me and use the Bible and pray for people. Because, one day when we all meet God and he's like, okay, I gave you these gifts, like, what'd you do with them? Yeah. And I'm like, oh, like, I want to make sure that every single gift that I have has been like squeezed to its full potential.
Mm-hmm. Honor it.
And honor that. Love so, that. Yeah, private practice, nonprofit that. World, maybe. Yeah, more to come.
I love it.
I love that. Oh, yes. Okay, so where can listeners find you?
Yes. So right now, alone, I'm on Instagram, so you can find me there. It's Vanessa Rowe, 07.
All right. Thank you so much for being here. I know it took time of your busy day. Mm-hmm. And, again, we're honored to have you here and super blessed. We're super blessed to have
a resource.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ.
Cross paths with you. Like, you have a gift and I'm just so honored to be seeing that, And I know your practice is going to come soon, and you're... Ooh, that's going to be so powerful.
Girl, I cannot wait.
I'm going to be sending
everyone. I'm going to be you.
Yeah,
there's no conflict of interest. Mm.
There is.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I can't we'll see get you
if
that.
I know you. I'm sorry.
Yeah. Oh. Yes, that's why I said I can't.
But I can
go
refer.
I can't really know.
I know some great. I'm not going to lie. Thank you.
Should have never joined our light group. Dang it.
Thank you guys. I just want to say I'm so proud of you both. Obviously I've known Vanessa a little bit longer, so I've seen her journey a little closer, but just to think about like what God has done in both of your lives, and the women that God has touched and like the lives attached to you guys, the way that you guys have healed. And because of that, just like all that God has done, like, and it's not even done. Like, he's just getting started. So I just want to say I'm proud.
Thank you.
I'm proud of you.
Here for the Jesus.
Jesus.
Yeah.
No, it's good. It's good. And we thank you so much.
So if you love this podcast, definitely share it. Take the notes, the gems that you get out of it. But one thing that Pastor Josh was talking about today at church was how like sometimes we can be so stuck in this podcast world and just hearing other people and their journeys and you forget to make that intimate time for God and know that, like, yes, the podcasts are great and there's a lot of podcasters out there that really do speak really good. But don't forget to dive into the Bible. Don't forget, like, the Bible is the number one thing that you should go for resources. The Bible, and just make that intimate time with Jesus.
Yeah, don't blindly follow people. Yeah. And like Vanessa said, like, inspect their fruit, like... Anybody can post anything on social media, turn the cameras off, and not do any of that, you know? So don't just compare your life or, I feel like we all have a habit of, like, being like, oh, they're such in a holier-than-thou space. Like, I'm never or they're never. And it's not ever what it seems. So my number one resource is the Bible, God, because yeah. like it's the one that stays consistent. I yes. never have to question it. Mm-hmm. So that should be yours. Mm-hmm. And, you know, find things that resonate with you, but don't make you question your value. So with that being said, we thank you again for tuning in as we share our journey on the road to a happy, healthy, and healed life, one episode at a time.
Bye.
Bye.